I received mercy. He's referring to what happened on the Damascus Road. And why did I receive mercy? That in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example.
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And we're in a series called Chosen Instruments. It's about people that God chose to use in the book of Acts. And today we come to the Apostle Paul. So, Colin, how is Paul's conversion experience on the Damascus Road an example for us?
Yeah, that really is a surprise, isn't it? That the word example would be used in the New Testament of Paul's conversion experience. I mean, I hear people say all the time, oh, well, I've never seen a blinding light. I've never had a Damascus Road experience. And people speak about their own conversion being a very simple thing and not dramatic like that. And yet the New Testament speaks about what happened to the Apostle Paul being an example. That really is a surprise. And here's what we're going to discover in the message today, that what happened to the Apostle Paul really is a model or a pattern of what happens in every conversion story. Even if your story of coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is very simple, like mine is. I became a Christian when I was just 6 years old. My heart was open to the Lord. I gave my life to the Lord, prayed with my father. Very, very simple. And you may not have a dramatic testimony, but today we're going to see how what God has done in your life is a mirror reflection of what he did in the life of Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road.
Well, we're going to see how that played out from Acts chapter 9. So grab a Bible, join us there as we begin this message entitled Paul. Here is Pastor Colin.
We're looking this morning at the conversion of the Apostle Paul. The story is told for us three times in the book of Acts, here in chapter 9 and also in chapter 22 and in chapter 26. We will refer to each of these accounts in order to get a full picture of this remarkable story. Now, I want right from the beginning for us to grasp the relevance of what is before us today. First, this is a story about anger. Verse 1, Saul was breathing threats and murder. We are living, and perhaps this is the defining point of our culture at this time, we are living in an age of outrage. The issues on which particular groups of people are angry vary, but the sense of outrage seems to be almost universal. This is a story particularly about anger against Christians. Saul was breathing threats and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Saul had it in for Christians. If you have ever felt anger towards another Christian, this story is for you. And notice that his anger had built up over a period of time. Saul was still breathing threats and slaughter. The worst kind of anger is the smoldering kind. It begins with you being offended, you internalize that, you sit on it, and it stays there. And while it smolders, it hollows you out from the inside. Then secondly, this is a story that is profoundly relevant not only to our culture, an angry culture, but to our world today, because it is a story, of course, about violence. This is the story of a religious man who turned to violence. Saul, of course, was motivated by the profound conviction that people of another religion should be eliminated. He made it his personal mission to destroy people of a certain belief. He believed that he was serving God in doing this. Now, you can immediately see the relevance then of this story to our world, where we are plagued with acts of terrorism, where the suicide bomber sincerely believes that he is doing the will of God and will be handsomely rewarded in heaven for his taking of the lives of others. That was exactly the position of this man, Saul of Tarsus. He was breathing out not only threats, but murder. He is ruthless. He is relentless in a campaign of violence, and he acts in the name of God, convinced that God will reward him for what he is doing. And then, as well as its relevance to our angry culture and to our violent world, I want you to see that it is a story that is relevant to us and speaks to us in a profoundly personal way. For this reason, that the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is a model of what must happen for every one of us if we are to truly become Christian. Now, your reaction to that statement may be understandably to say, surely not. Surely the experience of Saul of Tarsus was unique, something never to be repeated. I mean, think about what happened to him as it's recalled for us here, verse 3 and 4. As he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So he sees a blinding, literally blinding light. And he hears an audible voice. And this was not a man, by the way, hearing voices in his head, because verse 7 tells us that those who were traveling with him heard the voice. This was not a psychological experience. Saul actually heard the voice of the Son of God as clearly as you are hearing my voice right now. And the blinding light was certainly not some kind of a hallucination taking place in his mind. Why? Because the effects of the blinding light were that Saul could no longer see. Couldn't put one foot in front of another without being led by the hand. The blinding light burned his retina, so that the man who had come to arrest others ends up going into the city where he proposes these arrests, and he himself is the one who has to be led by the hand. He can't see a thing. So you read this story about a blinding light and the audible voice of the Son of God, and your natural reaction is to say, this story is about as remote from my conversion experience as anything could possibly be. And yet, I'm saying to you from 1 Timothy chapter 1 and 16 that this is a model for what must happen to every one of us. And that's exactly what Paul says there. He says, I received mercy. He's referring to what happened on the Damascus Road. And why did I receive mercy? That in me, the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example. What happened to me happened as an example, he says, for all who will believe in him for eternal life. Now, that then raises the question, in what sense is the experience of the Apostle Paul, the experience of Saul of Tarsus as he was at that time on the road to Damascus, in what sense was that experience a model, an example, to use Paul's word, a pattern for us? Clearly, Paul does not mean that in order to become a Christian, you have to hear an audible voice of the Son of God and you have to be blinded by a light from heaven. So what happened to him that must also happen to us? Because he says, my experience was an example, a model, a pattern. So I want to give to you from this story that speaks so powerfully to us today, three marks of genuine conversion. Number one, you come to a true knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what happened to him, and this is what must happen to all of us if we are to be true Christians. Who are you, Lord? He says, to which the Son of God answers, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Who are you, Lord? Now, Saul of Tarsus knew a very great deal about Jesus. About that, there can be no question. This man was a brilliant scholar, and he had chosen to specialize, to make his name on a campaign that was targeted against the followers of Jesus. He had made this study his speciality. He knew the claim of Christians that Jesus was the promised Messiah, that he was born of a virgin, the claim that he had lived a perfect life, fulfilling all that God has ever called us to do. He knew that Jesus had died on a cross. He would no doubt have put it this way, that the spin that the followers of Jesus had put on his death was that far from being an ignominious defeat, he had laid down his life in a perfect sacrifice that was the end of all sacrifices. He knew that they claimed that God had vindicated this Jesus by raising him from the dead. All of this was a matter of public record, well known in Jerusalem. Peter had declared it publicly on the day of Pentecost. Saul of Tarsus had been right there listening to the defense that Stephen made before his martyrdom, and therefore heard the whole of the presentation of the gospel that is recorded for us in Acts and chapter 7. Now, having chosen to make his name and his career as the great oppressor of followers of Jesus, there can be no doubt that Saul of Tarsus knew a very great deal about Jesus.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Paul, taking a look at Acts chapter 9 today, the first 9 verses there. And this message is part of a series called Chosen Instruments. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always come and listen online. Stop by unlockingthebible.org and stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen on the go if you have the Unlocking the Bible app. It's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, that's unlockingthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Saul of Tarsus knew a very great deal about Jesus. But reflecting on his conversion in 1 Timothy in chapter 1, he makes this very fascinating statement. He says, "I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent person, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly." Ignorantly. So Saul knew what Christians believed. Saul knew how Christians lived. And yet he says, "I acted ignorantly." Why? Because you see, at its heart, the Christian faith is not a set of beliefs to be debated. At its heart, the Christian faith is not a way of life to be considered. At its heart, the Christian faith is about a glorious person who even his enemies cannot ultimately avoid. Saul, you see, would have viewed the Christian faith as organized religion. That's the phrase that gets used today, isn't it? A means of manipulation and of exercising social control, a set of beliefs that puts a spin on the life and the death of Jesus in order to claim the loyalty and no doubt the money of naive and unsuspecting people. On and on, we've heard all of that. And when Saul thought down that line, it made him angry, as it makes lots of people angry today. He set himself against it. "I'm against this organized religion. I see it as a manipulation of people, and it's got to be wiped out." And he decides to do everything in his power to destroy it. So he strides out for the city of Damascus, but then suddenly falls to the ground. He's stopped in his tracks by a blinding light, and he sees the risen Lord. Do you know there are 3 accounts in the New Testament of seeing the glory of the Lord? And all of them have one thing in common. You have it in the Transfiguration. You remember when the disciples, Peter, James, and John, went up the mountain with Jesus, and it says that he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And then they not only saw the glory of Jesus, they heard the audible voice of God. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And what happened next? When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and they were terrified. On the ground. You have exactly the same thing in the book of Revelation, where the apostle John, who had leant on Jesus' breast at the communion service at the Last Supper, but now he sees the glory of the risen Lord exalted and in heaven. And we're told that he saw one like the Son of Man, and his eyes were like a flaming fire. That his voice, he heard the voice, was like the sound of many waters. And John says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead on the ground." The sheer glory of his presence, the sheer authority of his voice. And here on the Damascus Road, we have precisely the same thing. Here is Saul. He thinks he knows everything about Christianity. He hasn't yet encountered the living, risen Lord. And when he's surrounded by the glorious light of the presence of the risen Lord Jesus Christ, he hears his voice, he's on the ground. And this man who has exercised such power is absolutely helpless. Now, you may say, this all sounds very remote from me. I have never had a Damascus Road experience. I'm saying to you today, one day you will. I'm gripped by this thought today that every person in this first service will one day stand in the presence of Jesus Christ. You will. What happened to Saul of Tarsus will, my friend, happen to you. One day you will be face to face with Jesus Christ. You will find yourself in his glorious presence. You will hear the voice of the Son of God call out your name. And he'll say to you, "Now I am Jesus. I am Jesus." In the First World War, there was a military chaplain who became known as Woodbine Willie. That was his nickname. And he got that name, of course, because he gave Woodbine cigarettes to the soldiers in the trenches in the First World War. He was a remarkable chaplain. His real name was Stuart Kennedy, and he had a remarkable ministry to men who were literally on the verge of eternity. One of the means of his ministry was that he wrote poems, and one of them was about a soldier who had a dream in which he saw himself in the presence of the Lord, looking into the eyes of Jesus Christ. John says, "When I saw him, his eyes were like flaming fire." The poem's written in a Cockney dialect, so I've translated it and adapted it just a little for your comprehension. The poem is called "Well." "The other night, I dreamed a dream, and just between me and you, I never dreamed like this before. I half thought it was true. I dreamed that I was dead, you see, at least that I had died, for I was very much alive out there on the other side." And then in this dream, he finds himself looking into the eyes, the face of Jesus Christ, just him and Jesus. And he writes these words: "There ain't no books, and there ain't no thrones. It's him you've got to see. It's him, just him, who is the judge of blokes like you and me. And boys, I'd sooner frizzle up in the flames of a burning hell than stand and look into those eyes and hear his voice say, "Well, well." One day you will see Jesus Christ and hear his voice as truly as Saul of Tarsus did on the road to Damascus. You will. What happened to him will happen to you. The Son of God will call out your name and he will say to you, "I am Jesus." Now, you may think, you see, of Christianity as a set of beliefs that you're going to go on debating. A way of life that you're going to go on considering. Is this something I really want to do? And I'm saying to you from the Bible today that what you are dealing with primarily here is a person, and not any person, this glorious person, the Son of God, and you cannot avoid him. You see, Paul would say to us when he says, "I acted ignorantly," he knew all about Christianity. But this was the point at which he was ignorant. Yeah, I thought I knew about Christianity, but here's what I've missed. I missed the sovereign Lord who lays claim to every life, including mine. That there is a sovereign Lord in heaven and that his name is Jesus. You are not dealing here with something. You are dealing here with someone, and seeing who he is will change everything.
A powerful place to have to pause today's message. You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we've begun to look at three marks of genuine conversion. Really begun to look at one of those three marks today. Next time we'll look at points 2 and 3, so I hope you make it a point to tune in. Our message is called Paul, part of a series called Chosen Instruments. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can come and you can listen at our website. It's unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported program, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you Open the Bible Story. It's a 2-hour DVD journey through the entire Bible, introducing you to 5 people in the Old Testament, 5 events in the life of Christ, and 5 gifts that God gives to every believer.
Yeah, Steve, and you know, we often think rightly of the Bible in 2 parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I've actually found it quite helpful to think of the Bible in 3 parts. You've got the Old Testament, you've got the Gospels that tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the New Testament letters that speak to us about the Christian life. And in 3 40-minute sessions, this DVD is going to take you through the entire Bible story. In the Old Testament, you're going to meet 5 characters, and in each of their lives, we see how God works out his marvelous plan for saving the world. We're going to meet Adam, we're going to meet Abraham, Moses, David, and Nehemiah. And you know, if you get the stories of these 5 people, you really have the broad outline of the entire Old Testament story. Then, of course, when we come to the Gospels, we got 5 marvelous events in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was born, he was tempted, he was crucified, he's risen, and he's ascended, and today he's at the right hand of the Father. And seeing who Jesus is and what he has accomplished will communicate the love of God for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the New Testament letters, we're going to look at 5 marvelous gifts that belong to every Christian believer. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, the gift of forgiveness, the gift of the church, and then, of course, one day the great gift of heaven that will be ours in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So there you have it in 3 parts, 3 sessions, about 40 minutes each. It'll take you through the entire Bible story from Genesis to Revelation. It'll give you an overview. It's a place to begin. And once you've made a beginning of seeing the big picture of the Bible story, I hope you're going to be really encouraged to dig deeper and to find out more.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of this DVD, Open the Bible Story, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give a gift online when you come to our website, unlockingthebible.org, or call us at 1-866-865-6253. That's 1-866-UNLOCKED, or again, the website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. How does genuine Christian faith change the way a person understands him or herself? Find out next time on Unlocking the Bible.